So we're here on Chav Beis, Omid Beis, and we're up to V'yayin Shelo Bizman B'yashar. Let's see if we can find the place. We're pretty much in the middle of the Amud, so we'll look at the wide lines. And if you have the same Tzuras HaDaf as I do, we're going to count down from the wide lines. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 lines down in the wide lines. And let's try to reiterate what we said yesterday. The Kohen Hejot is not allowed to grow his hair for more than a month. And this was derived from a pasuk in Yechezkel, in that chapter in Yechezkel, which is dedicated to the laws of Kohanim, and it says, Upara, or Upera, lo yishalchu. He shouldn't send out his hair in a wild way. That means after 30 days, which the Gemara bases on an equation to Nazir. So the Gemara says, well, if you are basing yourself on equation to Nazir, maybe we should apply this rule to Kohanim even Bizman Hazeh. Is it contingent on the fact that the Kohanim are doing the Avodah? Or even a Kohen who doesn't have Avodah, he's not part of the Mishmar, or for example, Bizman Hazeh, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. Nevertheless, he still has this Isur, this prohibition of Lo Yishalchu Pera. Upera lo yishalchu, which means that he's not allowed to grow his hair long. So Gemara says, no, let's equate it with yayin. The Torah says, v'yayin lo yishtu. And yet, although the Kohen is enjoined from drinking wine, that only applies, the Torah says, bevoim el chatzar pnimis, when they're involved in the avodah. So for example, a Kohen today is not enjoined, he can drink wine till zayin gezunt, as long as he wants, as much wine as he wants, is no problem because there's no avodah. And so too, a Kohen could therefore allow his hair to grow beyond a month and there's no avodah. So we're up to the point in the Gemara where the Gemara is actually going to question this very premise. We're operating with the premise, just like in the case of Yayin, the Kohen is not allowed to drink the wine when he is involved in the Avodah. Bia means entering into the Chatzah Pnimis, Mevoam El Chatzah Pnimis. But if he's not involved in the Avodah, he's allowed to drink wine. Is so too, Pruei Rosh, if he's growing his hair long, that's okay. It's only Bizman Bia that it's also. So if you're looking at a Kohen who's doing the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash, he doesn't have long hair. But if you're looking at a Kohen who is not Bishas Avodah, or for example Bizman Hazeh with his no Avodah, then he's allowed to grow his hair long. Which would have been good news for my buddies in high school when they were the Kohanim, because I had a few buddies that were Kohanim, and you know, long hair was like, that was the in thing. I mean, you know, anyone with a haircut then was considered a square, which again, that nobody uses that word anymore. So we're up to the Yayin Shelo Bizman B'yashari ? The Gemara is wondering, is this really the case? Your premise is coming under attack now. Your premise was that if the Kohen is not involved in Avodah, then he's allowed to drink as much wine as he wants. And now the Gemara is going to quote a Braisa. And this Braisa is going to record a Machlokas Tanoim about whether or not a Kohen is allowed to drink wine. Even Shelo B'Shas Avodah. It might be that a Kohen is enjoined from drinking wine even B'Shas Avodah. Which would lead us back to our original question, then the Kohen, even today, should not be growing his hair long. Now, this Braisa is a Braisa that's brought in Masechta Tainis on Daf Zayin, Yud Zayin, and that's the main sugya of Mishmaros of Kahuna. Now, as we said yesterday, the original division of the Kohanim were into eight groups. Those were four from the children of Elazar, and four from the children of Itamar. That's back in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, already at the time of Shmuel and David HaMelech. It was divided into 24 Mishmaros, and there was a Memuna, there was someone who was in charge of each one of the Mishmaros, and basically each Mishmeres would be working in the Beis HaMikdash for 2 weeks, a week here and a week there. So let's say, for example, you belong to a certain Mishmeres, and you knew exactly which week was designated as the Avoda for that Mishmeres. So any day that week, you might be called upon to serve in the Mikdash as the Kohen HaOved. So therefore, you would not be able to drink wine for a full week. I'm assuming you knew and you could identify your week of the Mishmeres. Now, it's possible that you would know, based on the Memuna, let's say you might know which day of the week you're designated to serve in the Mikdash. So then on that day, you would not drink wine. But let's say, for example, somebody doesn't know exactly which Mishmeres he belongs to. So if he knows he belongs to a certain Mishmeres, but he's not sure which day of the week he's going to be Oved, so then he has to abstain from wine for the entire week. Fine. If he knows even more specifically, as we said before, which day of the week, then he only has to abstain from wine on that day. But let's say he knows nothing. Eino makir mishmarto, hu mishmeres beis avshalo. Now he knows that the Kohanim are broken up into Mishmaros, and that each Mishmeres is going to be called upon to do the Avoda. He's just not sure, in two possible scenarios, he's not sure when his Mishmeres is on duty, or alternatively, he's not sure which Mishmeres he belongs to. So the Tanakama of Rebbe is going to be of the opinion that he can't drink wine the full year around, because he doesn't know which week is going to be his week, and certainly doesn't know which day of the week is going to be his day of the week. He always is in a state of hikon, of preparation. He has to be prepared to do the avod on any day, because he doesn't know which day he's going to serve. Now you're going to see soon that if we extend and extrapolate from that principle, then it could be that Kohen Bizman Hazeh would not be able to drink wine the whole year round, because you never know when Emirat Hashem, the Beis HaMikdash, will be rebuilt, and on that day he might be called upon to do the Avoda. I think, Steve, you mentioned this, didn't you? I think so. Anyway, Rebbe has a different opinion. He's going to be much more liberal and allow Kohen to drink wine. Omer Ani, I make the following comment. And the first part of his comment is sort of like a rhetorical question. Kohanim Asurim Lishtos Yayin Li Olam. Are you telling me that a Kohen could never drink wine? And he says the following. Even if they would know that this day is not their day in the Seder HaMishmaros, but it's possible that for some urgent reason, let's say for example tomorrow they build a Beis HaMikdash, they need desperately someone who's Roy Lavoda, and all the Kohanim have been drinking wine, you won't be able to find one Kohen who could do the Avoda on that very day of the Chanukah Beis HaMikdash. So therefore Rebbe says that if your logic is that I have to always be in a state of preparedness, because maybe they'll need me, then no Kohen will be able to drink wine at all. And we'll soon see that indeed is the opinion of the Chachamim. But Rebbe doesn't want to buy into this. He can't accept that we have a carte blanche, all-inclusive, you know, every day of the year for every single Kohen an Issur of drinking wine. Aval ma'aseh shetakanoso kalkoloso. In other words, the kalkoloso, which literally translates as the rune here is the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and as a result of the Beis HaMikdash, now we have such a mix-up, we don't know which Mishmeres is going to serve when, and we really have to make sure that everybody is prepared. Is that kilkul, is dafka the takana? In other words, because of that situation that the Mikdash is no longer standing, which would now lead us to conclusion that every Kohen at any day of the year should be also b'shtiyas yayin. Therefore, it's going to become takanoso. I'm going to have to make a takana that there is no such Easter of yayin at all. And we're not afraid that tomorrow the Mikdash will be built and you'll be called upon to be the Kohen. So the language of Rebbe here is a little bit, enigmatic, or it's a bit paradoxical. He's saying that the Kilkul is the Takana. That's because the Mikdash is down, and we cannot derive the logical conclusion that therefore a Kohen, any Kohen ever, 24 hours, 7 days a week, should be also b'shtiyas yayin. We can't go there. Therefore, it's the takana. This is going to be our takana. This is going to be the reason why we're going to allow the kohenim to drink wine. The Omar Abaye, and Abaye says, "Kiman shasi kohenim chamra." You go to a party and the kohenim are drinking wine, or you have kiddush and the kohenim are drinking wine. How do they allow that? Why aren't we afraid that the mikdash is going to be built today and the Kohen won't be able to serve in the Beis HaMikdash because he's drunk wine? The answer is Kerevi, because we accept the sheet of Rebbe, who says that we're not going to go to that extreme and say, therefore, we have a blanket Iser, Shtiyas Yayin on all Kohenim. On the contrary, we're going to say right now there's no Beis HaMikdash, this is not called Zman Bia, Zman Avoda, and we're going to allow. So Gemara says, Michlal, the implication of Abai is that we can only allow the drinking of wine on the part of the Kohenim because we pass it like Rebbe. But the Rabbanon, if you would accept the sheet of the Rabbanon, he implies Asire. It would be also for the Kohenim to drink wine even in our time. Now we're stuck back with our original question about Pera lo yishalechu, meaning we said that the Kohanim today are allowed to grow their hair long. They don't have to take a haircut every 30 days. And the reason for that is because it's not Shas Avoda. And we're going to compare it to the paradigmic case of Yayin, of Shtiyas Yayin. Well, wait a minute, I have news for you. If we're going to accept the Sheet of the Chachamim, who disagree with Rebbe, they hold that the Iser of Shtiyas Yayin applies today, straight across the board, for all Kohanim at all times, even though there's no Beis HaMikdash. We always have to make sure the Kohen is prepared for the Avodah. And so too, by process of analogy, we should say that a Kohen, if he has to be prepared for the Avodah, he has to make sure that he cut his hair. Because if he doesn't cut his hair every 30 days, he's called Parua Rosh. And he cannot do the Avodah. Now here we have a long discussion. The Rishonim say that, what's the Gemara's question? The Gemara is saying, according to the Chachamim, it would be awesome. And the Kohen is enjoined from drinking wine the whole year round, even today. But we paskin like Rebbe. Abai paskins like Rebbe. He says that our minig is that the Kohenim drink wine because we accept the sheet of Rebbe. So why is the Gemara building a kasha on the sheet of Chachamim if we accept Rebbe's sheet? That's what the Rishonim are bothered by. So Rabbeinu Yonah, because of this difficulty in trying to understand the give and take, the dialectic of the Talmud here, he says that Af Rebbe, even according to the Shita Rebbe, Lo Hutra Shtiyas Yayin Bizman Hazel Mipnei Shu Chaye Nefesh. In other words, that there's a very extreme reason, an urgent reason, why we're going to allow the Kohanim to drink wine, because wine is something that... Now again, you and I may say, who cares? I mean, I don't know. But if you, my mother-in-law was in France after the war, and she tells me that in France, you drink wine with every single meal. There's no such thing as a meal without wine. Nobody gets drunk, by the way. So that's called chai nefesh. So again, it's hard for us to put that into our mental state, perhaps. But in the sociology of then, drinking wine is chai nefesh. In fact, only a Nazir, who himself has to bring a karbon chatas because he tzir nafsho min hayayin, he himself doesn't drink wine, but that he brought upon himself, and he'll be punished for that. Wine is, the Torah has a very positive view about wine. Maybe other religions don't, lahavdil, but the Torah thinks that wine is a great opportunity, yayin yisamach lev enosh, and it brings out the sod, it brings out the secret. There's certain days of the year when we have to drink wine. So this is called Chai Nefesh. So because of this push of Chai Nefesh, Rebbe bent over backwards and allowed the Kohanim to drink wine. But in the case of haircuts, What's going to be terrible if we impose upon the Kohen to make him prepared for the Avod at any point that he's required to take a haircut every 30 days? So what does he lose by it? Again, he has to pay the barber a couple extra bucks, but that's about it. Maybe the Beis HaMikdash will actually offer him a subsidy, you know? He'll have that card, you know, that he can use. So that's Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah thinks that the Gemara is not really building its cash on Rebbe, on Chachamim of Rebbe. But even Rebbe here would have the same cash that in the case of Perah Rosho, he should certainly want to require and guarantee that the Kohen is always prepared for the Avodah, and therefore he should be taking a haircut every 30 days, even Bizman HaZeh. Now, there's another note here from the Ran that I'd like to share with you, and it's all based on Rashi in Masechta Tainis. Rashi in Masechta Tainis says that we have explicit sources in which Chachamim are quoted as saying that even today Kohanim are not allowed to drink wine. Why then did the Gemara have to go through this whole complicated diuk from Rebbe, that Rebbe was the one who said Takanoso Kilkoloso, therefore he allowed the Kohanim to drink wine today? And then we had to infer, well, what would the Chachamim say? There are explicit sources that quote the Chachamim as saying that the Kohanim have to be ready and prepared for Avodah on a regular, constant basis. So the Ran explains that this question of Rashi, which Rashi raises in Tainis, is not such a difficult question. Why? He says, Motzinu b'kama makomos b'shas, we find very frequently in the Talmud that Maksha Gemara midiuk, the Gemara wants to be medayik something, afal pisha efshar lahakshos midvar mefurashim. Even when it's explicit, the Gemara tries to be medayik. Maybe that's a way of teaching us and training us in logical thinking. And then the Ran says the following: Lo matzinu kein elisha Gemara mevia brisa umaksha midiuka mireisha afsha efshar lahavias hasefer lahakshos mimena. He says the following, that if you have a brisa that's made up of two parts, a resha and a seifa, the Gemara will never base this question on a diuk in the resha if it's explicit in the seifa. Or vice versa, the Gemara is going to ask a question based on a diuk in a seifa when it's explicit in the resha of the very same brisa. And therefore, he says the following: Lulei divrei Abaye, hoya efshalom shechachomim dibru bizman Abayis, v'Rebbe diber bizman hazeh. He says it would have been possible to assume that when the Chachomim said that a Kohen is not allowed to drink wine the whole year round, he was referring to bizman Abayis, because then it's statistically probable, or there's some level of probability that he might be called on to do the avod. He doesn't know when his mishmeres is. Rebbe, on the other hand, when he was matish the Yain for Kohanim, he was talking bizman hazeh. So therefore, you cannot ask a kasha from the Chachamim, because the Chachamim are only talking bizman hamikdash. But now we have Abaye. Abaye says that the reason why Kohanim bizman hazeh are allowed to drink wine is only because of Rebbe. So that means that Abaye understood that the Chachamim, when they prohibited Shtiyas Yayin to a Kohen, they included even Bizman HaZeh. That even today, where it's very unlikely that the Kohen is going to wake up tomorrow and he's going to be called to do the Avodah, nevertheless he's not allowed to drink the wine. So that's a whole pilpul here to answer the question of Rashi in Masechta Tainis. So the Gemara now comes up with the following answer. You're right. According to Chachamim, the Iser Yayin, Shtiyas Yayin applies, even Shelo B'Shas Avoda, and even Bizman HaZeh. And basically, fundamentally, even Rebbe would accept that position, except that Yayin is Chayiv Nefesh, as we said before. But nevertheless, I still can differentiate between Shtiyas Yayin and Gidul Pera. Why? Hasam, with regard to the Iser Shtiyas Yayin, the Isur on a Torah level of Shtiyas Yayin is only Bizman Bia, and the Chachamim said that even after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, we have to worry because we have to make sure and guarantee that the Kohen is prepared to do the avod, he's roi to the avod. So hainu taima. So why do we get very strict about shtias yayin according to the chachamim of Rebbe? Because of the principle called Meheri Yibona Beis HaMikdash Be'idin Kohen HaRoi LaVod V'Leka. The Gemara is saying now that we hope in Mirtz Hashem the Mikdash will be built tomorrow, and we need a Kohen who's Roi LaVod, and we're not going to be able to find such a Kohen because they're all everyone's drinking wine, like I said in France, you know, at every meal they're drinking wine. How are you going to get a Kohen who's Roi LaVod? So the Chachamim made Gzeira according to the Rabbanon of Rebbe, and they said absolutely no Shtias Yayin. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, Hachinami, if you're applying the logic of Meheri Yibona and Be'ina Kohen Roi LaVoda, you have to guarantee that there'll always be a Kohen is Roi LaVoda, then if you're going to tell me that all the Kohen are allowed to grow their hair long, Leka, we don't have a single Kohen who's cut his hair within the last month. So our answer is Hacha Efshar LeMispar V'Ayel. If let's say the Beis HaMikdash is built today, we'll just simply send the Kohanim to the barbershop. Again, there may be a long queue, you know, waiting for your turn to get to the head of the thing. But nevertheless, you know, we'll have Kohanim who will chick-chock, they'll quickly have a haircut. There's a whole discussion here in the Achronim, but what would happen if the Beis HaMikdash was built on Shabbos or Yontif? How are you going to allow a haircut on Shabbos and Yontif? And that involves a number of different malachos. All right. In any event, the Gemara says, what are you saying? We don't have to worry about long hair because we'll just simply cut off the hair like Delilah did to Shimshon. I mean, it didn't take that long. In fact, the Gemara Hasam Nami, even if you're worried about Yayin, so how are you going to get the wine out of his system if, let's say, all the Kohanim are drunk with wine? Efshar dinayim purta v'ayil. All we need is that he fall asleep for a short amount of time, and then v'ayil, he is no longer considered drunk. He could go into the Beis HaMikdash and he could do the avoda. Now, Rabosai, l'chora, this really depends upon how much intake of wine he had. You know, you can't compare large volumes of wine, you know, in the bloodstream. You know, he's got the alcoholic content in his bloodstream in serious volume to someone who just took a revius of yayin. So we'll get to that in Mirtz Hashem soon. But right now, the Gemara is assuming that not all the Kohanim have drunk so much wine. We'll find enough Kohanim who could just take a quick nap, you know, put their head down on the table, and 5 minutes later we'll wake them up to do the avoda. The Omer Rab Chia says if a Kohen drinks wine, then he has two options. Derech meal, he could take a walk for one meal, let's say 18 minutes, take a spatzir, and that's going to bring out the wine from him. Or Shena Kolshu, he has another option, and that is he sleeps for just a few minutes, and then Mafigin Es Hayayin, and it takes off the impact of the wine. Again, Rabbo says, as I said before, that would be fine and dandy if he drank a very limited volume of wine. So the Gemara now is back to square one, because if we're not allowing the Kohanim to drink wine, because we're concerned and we're hopeful that the Beis HaMikdash will be restored, and that even though we can simply solve the problem of Shasu Yayin B'chik, you know, very quickly, just have him take a little Dremel, you know, Chapa Dremel, as we say in Yiddish, I'll let him just close his eyes for a minute. So then we should say that let's be equally machmir about a haircut. You know, we have to worry about the fact that it'll take him a few minutes till he gets his haircut. So Gemara rejects this. The Gemara says, Lav itmar lo, didn't we learn with regard to the statement of Rav Acha that not everyone who drank wine can simply take a little Dremel for a few minutes? Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rabba Baravua, Lo Shana, when does it make sense that you'll take an 18-minute walk, or you'll take a Dremel for a minute? Elisha Shasa Revius, Kidei Revius, meaning exactly a shear of Revius. which I think today is called 4.4 ounces or 4.1 ounces, 3.8 ounces, there's so many different shitas. Aval Yosef Ikdei Revius, let's say he drank 5 ounces of wine, so he's got a more serious intake of a volume of alcohol, is then it's not going to be an easy matter to solve his problem and become sober again immediately. You can't just snap your fingers but chick and say he's sober. Not only that, the Gemara says that taking a walk in such a case is even a negative factor. It even makes him more drunk. He says, Kolshkein de derech tordaso. Tordaso means he gets even more confused by going for a walk. You know, he starts, wavering back and forth. What's the word? You know what I'm talking about? You know, when you see a drunk person and he walks and he steps on this side and on that side. Vishena, and if he goes to sleep, Mishakraso. He gets more involved in his drunkenness if he's really seriously drunk when he sleeps. So it's not going to be mefig tam yayin. It doesn't detonate the power and the influence of the wine, of the alcohol, but rather on the contrary, it makes it even more severe. So therefore, we have to really worry about the Kohanim drinking wine, because if we allow them to drink wine, they're not going to stop at a revius. They're going to drink volumes of wine, and they're not prepared to do the avoda. And taking a walk or taking a dribble is not going to be sufficient. But in the case of a haircut, it's pretty standard for everyone, you know, that we can do a quick haircut job.
This kind of explains, because I was thinking, should only apply to like Kohanim that live in Yerushalayim, because they're the only ones that could get to the Beis HaMikdash in a hurry, and everybody else would take some time, and by that time the wine effects would have worn off. But not necessarily. I mean, this is
right, but until
that, saying if they had to travel a bit or whatever,
right, but
they napped on that, by the time they got to Yerushalayim, they could be.
But we need them urgently. We want to really get the Kohanim who are in close proximity to the Beis HaMikdash. And, you know, meanwhile, the Avoda is calling out to us, and especially if it's Chanukah HaMizbeach, because Simirat Hashem, when the Mikdash will be rebuilt, we'll have a whole process of karbonos that we have to be brought as part of. So we really urgently need the Kohanim, and it's going to take a while if they've drunk too much wine, a serious volume of wine beyond the revius, to get them ready and prepared. But that doesn't apply to the case of Pera Rosho. There we can do a quick haircut job, and within minutes, snap your finger, and the Kohanim are ready for the Avoda. Rav Ashi wants to come with a fresh start and offer an alternative distinction between Yayin and Pera Rosh. And he says the following. Rav Ashi Omar, Shesuye Yayin Demachle Avoda. He wants to know, what's the deal, what's the din, if a Kohen would go ahead and do the avoda when he's not allowed to do it in one of two scenarios. One is where he's got a volume of wine in his body, and the other is when he has a volume of hair on his head. So Rav Ashi says, here there's a fundamental distinction between these two so-called psulim, exclusions or disqualifications. The disqualification of shesu yayin, of a kohen who's drunk, is so severe that it's an absolute disqualification, which means machli avoda. He desecrates his avoda. So if, let's say, the Kohen did the avoda when he was drunk, then the avoda is completely possible, which, by the way, is a problem for many different reasons. I mean, if I want to give you a simple reason, it's a matter of money, of finances, because, you know, an animal is not cheap. So imagine you pay $500 for an animal, and then the Kohen shechts the animal, and he's drunk. Now Rashi explains, how does the Gemara know, how does Rav Ashi know that machli avoda, that if the Kohen was drunk, the avoda, even b'dieved, is completely disqualified? And Rashi quotes the pasuk in Vayikra Perek Yud. It says yain v'sheich al teisht, and then it says ulahavdil bein hakodesh ubein achol. And the way we're interpreting that pasuk is, you should not drink wine, and if you drank wine, we will make a separation between kodesh and chol, in which case the kodesh becomes chol. She'im yishte yichalal es avodoso. Therefore, since this whole issue about having a Kohen who's sober and he's not drunk is so severe and is so significant in halacha, to the extent in which, in the absence of being sober, meaning if he's drunk, it completely nullifies and desecrates his avodas. Gozru be rabbanon, the rabbanon are going to be very careful about this. They're hoping v'mheira yibona migdash, and we're afraid now that the Kohen might be drunk and therefore it'll passel his avodah. That's certainly not something that we're happy about. However, in contrast, says Rav Ashi, Purei Rosh, if his hair is long, the Lomachli avodah, even though he's enjoined from doing the avodah, but if he went ahead and he did the avodah, there's no halacha of Lahavdil ben HaKodesh ben HaChol. It doesn't desecrate and disqualify his avodah b'di'evin. He's therefore Gozer Rabbanon. The Rabbanon are not so nervous about, you know, the Migdash being rebuilt in a minute, and we were looking for Kohanim, and all the Kohanim have long hair. The answer is that even in the worst Chas V'Shalom case scenario, that the Kohen did the avodah with his long hair, the avodah is still avodah k'shera. And now the Gemara rejects Rav Ashi from a b'raisa. We're going to bring a b'raisa to prove that in the case of Parua Rosh, where his hair is very long, just like in the case of Shesuyayin, the avodah is completely desecrated. And it's invalid. It's disqualified. Basically, we have a b'raisa. The b'raisa is talking, the official theme or subject of this b'raisa is what's called a chiyuv misa bidei shamayim. That there's certain cases in which a kohen would be chayuv misa bidei shamayim because of the avoda, the way he did the avoda, the elu, and here's the list, shebe misa, that get misa bidei shamayim. The first on the list is Pruei Rosh, those who have very long hair. The second is Shesuyayin, those kohen have been drunk, and they did the avoda. So the Gemara asks the following question. Bishleim, I understand Shesuyayin. We're talking about a chiyuv misa because the pasuk itself says, Yayin v'sheichar al teisht ata uvanecha v'lo samusu. And the Torah is addressing itself to the Kohanim and telling the Kohanim, don't drink wine and then you won't die, implying that if they will drink wine and they do the avodah in a state of drunkenness, they will die. That's called misa bidei shamayim. Ella, Frekta Gemara, I don't understand. Prue, Rosh, Minol, what's the source? For a Kohen who has long hair and he does the avodah, that he's chayv misa bidei shamayim. And the Gemara says, because we have a Hekesh, we have an equation between Shesuyayin and Purei Rosh, the drunken Kohanim and the long-haired Kohanim. The Iskish Shesuyayin LeFurei Rosh. And where is that Hekesh? We're familiar with this Hekesh because of the Pasuk in Yechezkel that we've seen, the Chsiv HaRosham Lo Yigalechu Upera Lo Yishalechu. And then it says in the next pasuk, "V'yayin lo shiyishtu." So two continuous psukim in Yechezkel, Perek Mem Dalet. One is Pera Rosh, and the other is Shesuyayin. And this hekesh, this smichus haparshios here, is coming to teach us that Ma Shesuyayin b'misa is af purei rosh b'misa. That the punishment for a Kohen who does the avodah when he's drunk is misa b'dei shemayim. So too, the punishment for a Kohen who has long hair, if he does the avodah, is misa b'dei shemayim. Okay, now let's go one step further. We've equated the two, that Shesuyayin and purei rosh, with regard to the chiyuv onesh. What about to the status of the avodah? So Gemara says, Umina, and from this equation we take it one step further and we apply it logically to the question of the validity or the disqualification of the avodah. Masha suyayin de machli avodah, just like in the case of a Kohen who is drunk and he does the avodah is mechuleles, as we saw based on the pasuk lahavdil ben hakodesh u ben achol, is af purei rosh, by virtue of this hekesh, we're going to apply the principle of Chilul Avodah to the case of Purei Rosh, the Machle Avodah. So if the Kohen does the Avodah when his hair is very long, he will passel the Avodah. And we got to start from scratch and replace the Avodah. That's called Chilul Avodah. So this statement of Rav Ashi that the reason why the Chachamim of Rebbe Asr drinking wine even Bisman Azek Sheher Yibana is because if, heaven forbid, in the worst case scenario, after the Mikdash was rebuilt, they bring in a Kohen who's a Suyayin, that would be Mechal Avodah, but that doesn't apply to Purei Rosh. Because even if, heaven forbid, on the day of the Mikdash is rebuilt, we bring in a Purei Rosh to the Kohen, it's not Mechal Avodah. The answer is no. We cannot accept Rav Ashi. Because we have to assume that just like in Shesui Rosh, I'm sorry, Shesui Yayin, I made a combination, Shesui Rosh. Just like in Shesui Yayin, he passes the Avoda, B'dieved, so too, in Purei Rosh, it would be Mechalel, the Avoda. Kasha, the Gemara says that we cannot accept the explanation of Rav Ash. So here I want to share with you a little bit of background so that we appreciate the Gemara that we just studied. The Pasuk says, addressing Bnei Aaron, Roshechem al Tifra'u, Velo Tomusu. Just like it says that you, meaning the Kohanim, should not be drunk because otherwise you'll die, so too the Torah says that you should not let your hair grow wild, otherwise you'll die. So why does the Gemara vacillate back and forth? What would be the chiyuv in a case of Purei Rosh? And for that, the Gemara has to introduce a hekesh to Shesuyayin, and it's pretty much explicit in the pasuk itself. So the answer is, and this is offered by the Ran, that Sivui Zeh Lo Hayo L'doros, that when Moshe Rabbeinu, in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, addresses the Kohen and he says, "Don't let your hair grow wild and you won't die," that was only a horash shah. Libnei Aaron, God was addressing the children of Aaron, only them, not for all generations. Shelo Yifru v'yirmu al ames. And this has to do with the story, the episode, the tragic episode, the loss of Nadav Aviv. That in the aftermath of that loss, even though the two surviving brothers, that's Elazar v'Itamar, were Onanim, in other words, they were in a state of Avelus, nevertheless, they would still have to do the Avoda, and they shouldn't grow their hair, which would be some sort of a manifestation of Avelus. And this takes place at the point of Chinuch HaBayis, which is called the Yemei HaMiluim. You remember there's a week of Miluim in which they dedicated the Beis HaMikdash, and that's exactly when Nadav Aviv died. Remember, the fire came down from heaven. And God is telling the Bnei Aaron that Roshechem lo tifromu, lo tifru. You know, you shouldn't have this long hair for that period of time, even though that might be your natural inclination as an expression of Avelus, of mourning, but you're not allowed to do so. Why? Because of the significance of that glorious moment, which took a full week, called the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim for Chinuch Beis HaMikdash. But Lidoros, there's no Isur B'Dover. In fact, it's only the Kohen who gets an Isur Vesrosho Lo Yifra. But Hejo doesn't have an Isur. So how do we know that the Kohenim are not allowed to keep their hair growing, you know, beyond that month? And if they do so, they're Chayav Misa. So for that, we need this equation based on the Pasuk in Yechezkel between Shesuyayin and Pararosha. Now the Rashbam in Bava Basra quotes Rishonim that there's a fundamental difference between Kashya and Tuvta. Because if you notice, the last word in our sugya was Kashya. It doesn't say Tuvta. And when it says kasha lo nidchu advarim, it's not an absolute, we call it in boxing, a TKO. It's not a TKO. The Rashbam himself rejects these Rishonim. He holds that kasha is just as strong as tiyuvta. However, in our Gemara, there are two girsos. And there's one girsa that drops the word kasha, which means that even if I accept the Rashbam, who would normally say that when it says Kasha, that's it. You know, finito, ball game over, you know, you can farmach the Gemara, go home, because there's no answer to a question that's kasha. Even the Rashbam here would agree that there is an answer to this question. Why? Because he doesn't have the girsa kasha. So what is the answer to this question? How could we possibly make sense about from Ravashi's distinction between Shesu Yayin and Pera Rosha? So for that we have to learn the next piece of the Gemara. You may recall that it was Yechezkel who taught us many, many new dinim about Kohanim and Avodas HaMikdash. One of them was the Purei Rosh, that they're not allowed to have wild hair and let the hair grow for more than a month. So the Gemara now clarifies which of these dinim that Yechezkel enumerates and formulates in Perek Mem Dalet and Sefer Yechezkel, which of them are original, so to speak. Meaning that without Yechezkel we wouldn't have known these dinim. If somebody has a chumash with haftoras, I just want to double check. I believe this is haftorah for Parshas Emor. I think there's a Vayikra up there, Steve. Look, is that a Vayikra? Oh, tell me if I'm right here. Anyway, Omale Ravina L'Ravashi, hi, this din that we're going to derive from Yechezkel, that a parua rosh, if his hair is wild, he's chayv misi b'dei shamayim, adelo osi Yechezkel mana mora. Oh, Yechezkel mem dal, cool. There it is. So who is the one who taught us this? And now Yechezkel lived at a certain time in Jewish history. What happened up until this time? Do we not know that it's a capital crime for the Kohen to wear his hair long? When I say capital, I mean to say Bisa Bidei Shamayim. So Marsha, by the way, adds a comment here. He says that what the Gemara is referring to is that a Kohen has to cut his hair once every 30 days, and that's derived from the word pera in Yechezkel. Because pera in Yechezkel is the same as pera in Nazir, which means that the Nazir cuts his hair after 30 days. So to the Kohen has to cut his hair no later than 30 days. So that the Gemara is asking, and Ravina is asking, and before Yechezkel came along, We didn't know this. Something's missing here in the equation, because there are many, many centuries from the time of Matan Torah until Yechezkel HaNavi. What would he think about Perah Rosh? So Rav Ashi gets upset at the very question of Ravina, and he says, "Utaimech, and what do you think? Hadi Omer Rav Chizda. We're talking about an Orel now. An Orel is a Kohen who is not circumcised." And the law is that an Orel, a Kohen who's an Orel, if he does the Avodah is completely disqualified. It's null and void. And Rav Chizda says, Dover Zeh, Mitoris Moshe Rabbeinu Lo Lamadnu. I looked into the Chumash, and nowhere did I find that an Orel is Pasul Avodah. Achebo Yechezkel V'lim Donu. It was only Yechezkel, which now you can see it inside, you have the Haftorah open, look in Pasuk test. Kol ben Nechar Orel Lev Yarel Basel Yovel Mikdashi L'Sharseini. You find such a Pasuk? And it means that an Orel cannot come as a Kohen and do the Avodah L'Sharseini in the Mikdash. Now, interesting, the Pasuk says Ben Nechar and it says Orel Lev. So what's the difference between these two phrases? So Ben Nechar is called Mishan Isnakru Masov Liov Shiva Shamayim. Let's say, for example, heaven forbid, he's a Shabbos violator. So he's Posel Yavoda. So a Kohen who's guilty of serious averos, he's called Arel Lev, uncircumcised heart. He's called a Ben Nechar. And Arel Lev is referring to an Arel Basar, meaning that he was not circumcised. So in either of these cases, if he wasn't Gemalt and he didn't have circumcision, or alternatively, he is violating the basic laws of the Torah, in such a case, his Avodah as a Kohen is completely disqualified. And we know this from who? not from Moshe Rabbeinu, but from Yechezkel. So Adolo Boy Yechezkel Man Amora. What did we think from Moshe Rabbeinu till Yechezkel, which are, you know, 1,000 years? Well, what was the deal with a Kohen who is a Ben Nechar or an Arel Lev? We didn't know this. So Ravina, your question is by definition an invalid question. You're saying that in the case of Perah Rosh, we know this from Yechezkel. Right? So you're asking, well, what happened from Moshe Rabbeinu this whole historical period until Yechezkel came along? Do we not know this? Well, I'm going to ask you the same question about Arel, Lev, and Ben Nechar. Ella, but the answer must be to all these questions, Gemara, Gemira Lev, which means they had a Kabbalah, what we call Alach Moshe Misinai, the Asa Yechezkel, the Asmachei Akroi, and Yechezkel came along and he wrote it explicitly in the Torah Shemitzav, in this case in the Nach. Hachanami, here too, with regard to the Din of Perah Rosh, Gemara Gemirale, we have a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, but until Yechezkel, it was Torah Shebal Peh that was transmitted orally, the Asa Yechezkel, the Asmachei Akro. And Yechezkel formulated in the Pasuk itself. So now we read the, I think the next line you may have in parentheses, am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll read, in this case we read the parentheses. It says, V'chi Gomre, and this Halacha L'Moshe Misinai that we got from Sinai as an oral tradition regarding Purei Rosh, is that we should equate Purei Rosh with Shesuyayin. Is that's only as far as Misa is concerned. But Achuli Avoda Lo Gemire. What the Gemara is saying here is that we wanted to reject Rav Ashi, who said that there's no Chilul Avoda in the case of Purei Rosh, where the Kohen has long hair beyond 30 days. And we rejected Rav Ashi because of the equation between Shesuyayin and Purei Rosh, because just like in Shesuyayin, the Torah says explicitly, "La'avdil bein hakodesh u'bein hachol," that he's mechalas avod if he's drunk. So therefore, by equation, through the hekesh, we should say the same halacha with regard to Purei Rosh, that if he's got long hair, the Kohen, you know, he's a fan of the Beatles. Who were the first ones who had long hair? I don't even remember anymore. But anyway, so he's got his hair long, then his avod is pasul. So what's his name? Yechezkel is not coming to introduce new laws. Yechezkel is only coming to formulate the laws as they were given orally in the transmission of Moshe at Har Sinai, which is called Hilchas Gemirolon, Gemara Gemirale. That's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. The Halacha L'Moshe Misinai was that we equate the status of a Shesuyayin and the status of a Purah Rosh only to a certain point, as far as the punishment is concerned for the Kohen, meaning that he is condemned to death, Misa Midei Shamayim, because of the fact that he was Pari Rosh, and that we equate, that we derive from the equation to Shesuyayin. But as far as Chilul Avod is concerned, we never had Halacha L'Moshe Misinai that a Kohen who has long hair is Mechal is Avod B'dieved if he does the Avodah. And Lo Gemiri, if it's not part of the Halacha Moshe Misinai, then it's not included in Yechezkel. Since again, Yechezkel wasn't Mechadish anything new. Yechezkel only formulated in Torah Shebichsav what we knew from the Torah Shebalpeh of Hilchas Gemira Leh. So this now explains what the word Kasha means. If you all like those Rishonim, the Kasha means it's a question but it has an answer. It's not the same as Tiuvta. Or alternatively, all like the Rashbam, the Kasha is the same as Tiuvta, but we don't have the Girsa Kasha. And the answer is that we can accept Rav Ashi, and there is a fundamental distinction. So if you ask me, Kohen and Bizman Hazeh, a regular rank and file Kohen asks me, do I have to take a haircut every 30 days? Says Rav Ashi, no. I, the Chachamim of Rebbe, hold that a Kohen Bizman Hazeh is not allowed to get drunk, because maybe tomorrow the Beis HaMikdash should be built, and he'll be called upon to do the Avodah. So if Ashi says, well, in the case of Shisui Yayin, we have a very tragic possibility that if the Kohen is called upon to do the Avoda tomorrow and he's drunk, the Avoda is Mechulelis. But in the case of Purei Rosh, we don't have to go that far and say, well, maybe tomorrow the Beis HaMikdash will be built. He's got hair coming out of his head and he hasn't taken a haircut in a month. We don't have to worry about that, because even in the worst case scenario, says Rav Ashi, if he did the Avoda when he was Puri Rosh, the Avoda would still be Avoda Kshera, because Puri Rosh does not disqualify the Avoda once it's done, and therefore it's not such a tragedy, it's not on the same level as Suyayin, and therefore we can allow Kohanim today to grow their hair long. This is good news for Kohanim who like long hair. Ah, you'll ask me, but what about the Hekesh Tishasuyayin? And the answer is the Hekesh Tishasuyayin is only as far as the Onesh for doing the Avoda, but as far as the status of the Avoda B'dieved, that wasn't included in the Hekesh, because that wasn't included in the Hilchasa, in the Hilchasa Gemira.
So you can serve in the
Beis
HaMikdash, but he can be put to death.
Correct. If he does the Avoda, which he's not allowed to do, he is going to be killed in Shemayim. He'll forfeit his life up in Shemayim. You know, just, God will take care of him. But the Avodah is Avodah Kshera. So that, by the way, which is a different discussion, not now, that breaks up the interdependence between the Onesh of Misa and the Chil Avodah. They are not Homo Hatalia. They are independent one or the other. You can have someone who should not have done the Avoda, he'll be condemned to Misa B'dei Shemayim for doing the Avoda, but nevertheless, the Avoda per se is an Avoda, Avoda Kshera. By the way, and then we're not learning Masechta Makis, but there's a Sugya Makis. What happens if a Kohen does the Avoda, then we find out that there's a Psul in his Yichus. For example, he was a Cholol. He was a Ben Grusha or a Ben Chalutza. What do we do with his Avoda? And the Gemara quotes a Pasuk and derives from that Pasuk that his Avoda is an Avoda Kshera. So we see that as far as going as far as passing the Avoda B'dieved, there's a great hesitation to go that far. Now, let's go back to the Pasuk in Yechezkel that we started with earlier on the Daf. If you recall, the Pasuk in Yechezkel has three parts to it. It says the following. Number one, Rosham lo yigal lechu. That was what we call the teglachas efes. You know, if he completely shaves off his head, that he's not allowed to do, the Kohen. Number two, pera lo yishal lechu. He's not allowed to grow his hair more than 30 days. And then there are four words at the end of the pasuk. Chasom yichsemu esra shehem. Now, the word chasom means stunning, beautiful, something that's really, you know, really meant to knock your socks off. So what kind of kasom yiksimu es rasheim, what are they doing to their hair that makes them so beautiful? So the Gemara says, my kasom yiksimu es rasheim. What do those words mean? Right, so we're now four lines before the end of Perek Shevi. So since we've been talking about Shesuyayin, we have to get a bottle of wine and celebrate the Siyum on Perek Shevi. Okay, it says the following. Tana, we learned in a Braisa. Kimin tispores luliyonis. Okay, these are Greek words to us. The Gemara itself finds it Greek. So anyway, there's a certain kind of a haircut that's absolutely stunning. And it's called a tispores luliyonis. So if you know anyone who's preparing to be a barber, he should learn how to do this, because he can charge a lot of money for this haircut. My tisporis luyonis. How do you achieve this great haircut that's so beautiful that the Tanakh describes it as kosom yiksimu? Om Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, tisparta yichida'a. It's a very beautiful, special kind of a haircut, and there's nothing exactly like it. Hechidami, how do you achieve such a beautiful, glorious haircut? Omer Avashi, Rosho shel zeh b'tzad ikro shel zeh. That the hair is cut perfectly, such that one hair grows out of, let's call it, yesterday I called it a follicle. I know nobody rejected that word, so in the meantime I'll use that word. and it grows to the next follicle of the next hair right over. So every single hair is equidistantly spaced in such a way that the hair is long enough to cover the distance between one hair and another hair. And this is something that's absolutely beautiful, and it's derived from Kosom Yiksimu. It's such a beautiful haircut. Now, who has to take such a haircut? Does every single Kohen have to find himself a barber who's such an expert and probably charges a hon tofot? Shaluas Rebbe, Ezu Tisparo Shel Kohen Gadol. Ah, we're not talking about a Kohen Hedjot here, we're talking about the Kohen Gadol. So interesting, the Pasuk in Yechezkel should be divided into two parts. The Reisha of the Pasuk in Yechezkel is referring to a Kohen Hedjot, but the last four words in the Pasuk are addressing a Kohen Gadol. Amalem Tzuru'u Mitisporet Shel Ben Elasa. This is the Rebbe, the son-in-law of Rebbe. Elasa was married to Rebbe's daughter, and he took a certain kind of a haircut. Look at his haircut and you'll know what exactly is the haircut of a Kohen Gadol. Now keep in mind that the son-in-law of Rebbe was not a Kohen Gadol. No way, no how. But he took this haircut in order to teach, in order to demonstrate what that haircut of the Kohen Gadol would look like. Rebbe Omer lo al chidam pizer ben alosa es ma'osav. It wasn't a waste of money. You know, don't think he was just trying to be a cool guy, you know, and take the sharpest haircut. Right, like when I was a teenager, you know, you very often you wanted to be macho, so you took a very fancy kind of a haircut, you know, a, you know, this, that, the other thing. Half of those were by way of violation of a doraisa. But anyway, he says, Ella, the reason why he spent this money is kedei laharos bo tispores shel kohen gadol. He really wanted to teach us, by spending this so much vast money for a tispores, what was the kohen gadol's haircut like? I see we're running out of time, but I just want to share with you one important note over here. And he says the following. How do we know that this braisa that describes the end of this pasuk in Yechezkel as Tisporis Lulyonis is referring to a Kohen Gadol? So he says the following. The Rishonim say that Kisherotzim lomar kain mochichim kidaitom imasha nemar sham bepasuk v'yayin lo yishtu kol kohen. In other words, the first part of the pasuk says kol kohen, referring to any kohen, and then it says kasom yisumu es rasheim. That's not referring to kol kohen; it must be referring to a special kohen. That's the opinion of the Tosfos Rosh. Rabbi Yonah says that since the Pasuk says Es Rasheim twice, the double language Rasheim is coming to include the Kohen Gadol. And the Ran writes that the Sefer only refers to Kohen Gadol because any Kohen is obligated to take a haircut. So why did the Torah identify a special haircut, which again, as we saw before, Elasa had to demonstrate that haircut? The answer is because the Torah is addressing the case of the Kohen Gadol. Hadron Alecha Kohen Gadol, Hadron Alecha Kohen Gadol. If somebody happens to have the next Mishnah, I could borrow it just for a second, because the minute is when you finish a parak, you read the next Mishnah. And this is chapter 3, Dine Momenos Bishlosha. Now we're going back to our original issues in Masechta the Sanhedrin about the makeup of a Beis Din, how many Dayanim will comprise a Beis Din, and the Mishnah establishes that we need a minimum of 3 judges. Now, in truth, what happens is there are 2 Balei Din. One Balei Din will choose for himself one Dayan, the other Dayan, and then the 2 Dayanim will get together and they will decide who will be the third Dayan. That's the sheet of the Tanakhama of HaMishnah. Zeh Bor Lo Echad, Zeh Bor Lo Echad, Ushneim Borim Lahem Od Echad. And the Chachom have a different sheet, Shnei Dayanim Borim Lahem Od Echad. So we'll get to that Machlokus and Mirtz Hashem tomorrow. Wish everyone a great day.
What's the difference between the two?
Right, that's what I want you to keep in